Joining us at this time, we have Dr. Nathan Smith, a board-certified cardiothoracic surgeon with SSM Health, Dale Michaels Heart and Vascular Care. Dr. Smith, thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much for having me, Bob. It's a privilege.
Now, I have to ask, you're pretty much new to the area. Tell us a little bit about that, if you would, please.
Yeah, you know, I was in a practice in Mississippi and quite content, wasn't really looking for a job, but a mentor from my general surgery days a long time ago called me up and said, hey, would you like to be a little busier and come on up here to Fond du Lac, Wisconsin? So after taking a gander at the local area and kind of falling in love with the town and the people, my wife and I decided to move up here, and it's been a real blessing.
So how long have you been working now for them? Are you just starting or...?
Sure did. Started in July.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, very good. Tell us a little bit about your background, if you would. Where did you study?
Yeah, so I grew up in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and had the privilege of a mentor there, Dr. Neil Kahn, who was a cardiac surgeon at Wake Forest Baptist Medical Center. And when I was a youngster in high school, I had the opportunity to observe a couple cardiothoracic cases that he was doing, and I just absolutely fell in love with the specialty. It's my first exposure to surgery or medicine. And, that was the seed, and academic opportunity opened itself up to me, and I just kind of walked through the paces through college and medical school and then down the long decade of hanging out in the bowels of a hospital for about 15 years, and finally came out on the other end, knowing how to do general surgery, trauma critical care, and then cardiothoracic as well.
Now, I see that you've done some medical mission trips. Where have those trips taken you?
Yeah, so my wife grew up with a fella that is now the head surgeon and sort of chief executive of a mission hospital in Togo. His name is Tom Kendall. And I had actually gone to that same hospital prior to him being there when I was a medical student as a tropical disease rotation. And so we already had some personal connections there. And when I finally finished training and was able to get out and practice on my own, my wife and I have desired to do medical mission work for a long time, and so finally made good on that. So Togo was our first foray into that. And it's a smaller hospital where I do general surgery stuff, like taking out colons or breast cancers or thyroids or hernias. And my wife, who's also a physician, she ends up taking care of the pediatric ICU and the neonatal ICU. She's double boarded in internal medicine and pediatrics, and so between the two of us, we can kind of run the hospital for the team while they get to take a break.
So, what does your wife do then?
She's going to be working here at the moment. Oh. She's getting settled into the home that the Lord provided for us, and as well as homeschooling our kids. But she's going to be working part time here in Fond du Lac as an outpatient adult medicine doc. As well as a pediatrician occasionally on call here at the hospital.
Okay. Well, we wanted to dip our toe a little bit into your background since you're just joining the Dale Michaels Heart and Vascular Care Center. And now we can focus a little bit on the purpose of the interview. And
sure.
We wanted to talk today a little bit about heart attack symptoms, which I understand are pretty common, but more so in women. Maybe you can tell us about that, if you would.
Yeah, well, that's a great topic to talk about, Bob, because it's something that everybody's always conscious of. We live in a well-supplied environment with lots of good food, and some of that food tends to lead to some heart disease. So, no surprise. Men and women are wired up differently. A lot of the early research in heart attacks was done in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, and that classic image of a middle to older age gentleman with his hand over his kind of left chest, kind of bending over with pain running down the left arm, that's what we think of as sort of the classic heart attack. And that is true. Roughly 90% of men will complain of some kind of chest discomfort that often runs down the left arm or up into the left jaw. turns out ladies, like I said, are just wired differently. They do not necessarily experience heart attack discomfort in that same manner. About 85% will still complain of some kind of chest discomfort, but often it will they'll call it something like just discomfort. I'm hurting. The excessive fatigue. Sometimes people will misinterpret the heart attack pain as sort of a heartburn or something like that. And oftentimes it'll go down the right side or up the back. Or I've even had one middle-aged lady that complained of a funny feeling at the back of her head. There's lots of atypical, what we would call atypical chest pain patterns, and it's really not atypical. It's just that's how a ladies often experience their heart attack pain.
Okay. So what kind of symptoms should you look for? You kind of mentioned what most men go through and what the women, but is there any that's common between men and women?
Yeah, so the number one thing would be chest discomfort of some kind. It may be burning, it may be pressure, it may be pain, but something in the mid left sided portion of the chest, that is the most common symptom. And in folks that are having heart attacks, men and women, they will describe chest pain 90% of the time. It's just the characterization of what that pain is like can be different between men and women.
What happens if it goes untreated?
Well, there's heart attacks and heart attacks. If you think of the kind of heart attack where someone kind of falls out and 911 is called and somebody comes in, we're doing chest compressions and trying to get the patient to the hospital, that would be something where a blood vessel to the heart becomes completely blocked. So that would be, I think, probably the classic heart attack, what we would call a STEMI, an ST elevation myocardial infarction. And that's a fancy term that just means that there's EKG changes that are very recognizable. But there's also heart attacks that are on the softer side where there is not a complete blockage, but just a tightness. It's almost like having a fuel line problem in your car where as long as you're resting and at idle, everything's fine. But if you try to press the gas, your engine's going to sputter a little bit. And that's we would call that an NSTEMI or unstable angina. Again, mm-hmm. Technical terms related to the EKG changes. But those kind of heart attacks are somewhat predictable. A patient would have chest discomfort while they're exercising or doing some kind of vigorous work and then receive relief with rest. So obviously, with a classic heart attack, chest compressions and 911, it's all hands on deck, get the patient to the hospital and try to salvage. But if a patient starts feeling that chest discomfort with work, that's an opportunity where we can intervene before there's a major event. And so that would be something where the patient would need to come to a cardiologist or to their primary care provider and get worked up for it. And we've got some great opportunities to do stress tests and EKGs and imaging studies to be able to evaluate a patient's heart and to see if they're at risk for having a heart attack.
Has heart surgery evolved over the years?
Oh, sure. Yeah, one of my favorite movies is Something the Lord Made. It was about a fellow named Vivian Thomas, who was a African-American assistant to a guy named Blaylock, Alfred Blaylock, who was at Vanderbilt initially and then up at Johns Hopkins. And they're credited with doing the first blue baby surgeries, where they would attach an arm artery to the pulmonary artery to fix some congenital cardiac defects. But it was off to the races from there. People started doing aorta replacements for enlarged aortas. They started doing valve replacements once the heart and lung machines got up to par and were really honed and turned out to be quite safe. In the 70s and 80s, people would use veins in the leg to do bypasses. In the 90s and 2000s, early 2000s, we started using more arteries that turned out they lasted a lot longer. And then from there, the last 20 years or so have been ongoing, small, incremental improvements in the type of valves that we use, in the surgical techniques. One of the things that I've brought to the hospital here is something called multimodal pain therapy, where we take four or five low-dose medications that tackle a patient's pain from both their perception as well as multiple routes along the pain pathways to minimize discomfort. And so patients feel a lot better after having surgery. There's also nuances in how we close the patient back up. Used to use wires. Now we use these little Kevlar-like tapes that are much better, much more secure. And there's all sorts of minimally invasive techniques that we can use. I'm also a robotic thoracic surgeon, and so we treat things in the lung side of the world with minimally invasive robotic surgery. Small incisions, patients go home the next day rather than a week-long hospital stay like it used to be. But that's getting us just a little bit off topic.
Actually, we have to wrap things up, but if people want more information or maybe they're interested in a medical visit with your office, how do they get a hold of you?
Yeah, the easiest way would be to just call my office at 920-926-8230, and I am happy to see folks.
Well, Dr. Smith, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Well, thank you, Bob. It's been a delight.
We've been talking with Dr. Nathan Smith, a board-certified cardiothoracic surgeon with SSM Health, Dale Michaels Heart and Vascular Care.